Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there?
Hey, not much, man. Glad to have you there, and glad to have you guys, you know, return for another episode of Sports Urban Legend. And, you know, we got a busy show. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Mets and the Yankees as these guys, both teams continue, you know, unbelievable playoff run as they battle through injuries and inconsistencies. We'll get into the NFL, both teams, you know, in the early NFL season, week three, we'll get into that also. Also talk about, you know, the NBA a little bit with Kevin Garnett retiring from the game of, you know, basketball. So, you know, we'll also end it off with a little WWE news, a little TNA news with the signing of Cody Rhodes. He finally joins his wife in TNA. So that's big wrestling news. And, of course, you know, we're going to talk about the Clash of the Champions, at the pay-per-view that's going to happen later tonight. But, you know, we'll talk about that and other stuff. But most importantly, guys, you know the number, and that's 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to, you know, share your thoughts on any of these topics and more, but you know, without further ado, let's you know, let's talk a little Mets baseball here. And the injury bug is really biting the New York Mets right now, because if you would have told me that down the stretch you would have a rotation, you know, with Matt Harvey on the out for the season, Zach Wheeler, who still hasn't come back to the Mets in 2 years, Jacob DeGrom, you know, out for the rest of the year. You have Syndergaard, who just missed Saturday's start due to a strep throat. The list goes long. Matt Harvey, I mean, obviously, David Wright, you know, in the starting lineup, he's gone for the rest of the year. I mean, the list goes on and on with so many players that they have missing. And if you would have told me in September 25 that Mets are in the playoff chase, you know, via the wild card, the two wild card spots, you know, currently they're on the top spot as we speak right now. But if you would have told me that the Mets would still be in contention, even though Colon is the most healthiest pitcher they got on the rotation, the guy who was expected to go into the bullpen by this time. And then you got Colon, you got Jesselman, you got Lugo. I'm trying to think who else. I know Noah pitched recently, but, you know, obviously he's – you know, he's definitely not a starting rotation. And Montero as well. If you tell me these are the guys who would be starting in September when the Mets need, you know, their dominant starting rotation the most, I wouldn't believe you, because, you know, with all these injuries that the Mets are having, it would be a miracle. Even though the Mets have a horrible, horrible schedule, you know, talent-wise, you know, with the Braves and Phillies and the Marlins, you know, these past couple of days, one thing people have to remember is that these teams are divisional, you know, matchups, and all these teams hate the Mets. It doesn't matter how horrible these teams are. Once they see the new NY on the jersey, they want to beat the Mets. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the Braves, everybody knows about the rivalry with the Mets ever since the 90s. I mean, the Braves, they've had a terrible year, but, you know, after the second half, they've turned their season around. They're hitting better, you know, and it was pretty evident a few days ago when the Mets got swept by the Braves. I know, inexcusable, no excuses. I mean, I know they you know, the rotation is in shambles. You know, basically, you'd have to see the All-Star team rotation basically on the DL. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, they have a lot of injuries. They have a lot of inconsistent bats. Yes, I'm looking right at you, Jay Bruce, who hit a home run Saturday night in a meaningless game, because after the Mets got swept by the Braves, Mets turned it around. They won Thursday and Friday on, you know, unbelievable events. Basically, Thursday night. The Mets were losing, and Reyes hit a two-run home run to tie the game up in the ninth. And then afterwards, I think in the, what was it, the 11th, I believe it was, Cabrera hit a three-run home run. They're trailing by two runs, if my memory served me right. I think the final score was like 6-5 or something like that. I can't remember. But, yeah, the Mets had an improbable comeback. Mets had a lot of walk-off wins and losses as well. I mean, I think the game before that, the game where they got swept, Cespedes almost had a ball that went over, that almost was a game-winning home run. But one of the Braves, Piscotty, I think his name was, he leaped over the right field wall and stole Cespedes of a game-winning home run, and as a result, that's how the game ended. So that's how the Mets got swept in embarrassing fashion, you know. And then the following night, Cabrera had his amazing walk-off win. Friday night, they had a game where they beat up on the Phillies 10-5. And then afterwards, Conforto had a three-run home run, his first home run in a long time. And then afterwards, Saturday night, maybe an hour or two ago, the Mets got their butt whooped 10-8. You know, the Mets were trailing 10-0, and then Mets, you know, managed to rally and score, go on an 8-0 run, including in the ninth, where they had, after the aforementioned Jay Bruce, you know, he hits a pinch hit home run, to make it 10-8. The Mets had the tying and winning run. Actually, matter of fact, they had the tying run on base and the winning run at the plate. And trying to remember who got retired. I know Travers Zeno was the last out. I can't remember who was the out before him. Might have been Ty Kelly. I can't remember who it was. My memory escaped me for the moment. But in any case, Mets had a chance to almost pull off the impossible and came back a 10-0 win and won the game. But, you know, basically, I knew as soon as Syndergaard wasn't going to play, the game that just ended on Saturday night, you know, I told my father, the day before yesterday, that, with Syndergaard out, the Mets are going to have, the only way Mets are going to win this game is if they they bring the bats, you know, to, you know, on Saturday and score some runs. And to their credit, they did do that. But unfortunately, as I suspected, it would be a slugfest. You know, even though the Mets only hit one home run via, you know, the Jay Bruce nine-inning home run, solo home run. But, yeah, it was 10-0. It was, you know, it was going to be a battle of the bullpen. And basically it was an ugly game, you know. Both starters didn't go deep. And, you know, I knew Gil Martin wasn't going to go deep because this guy is not a pitcher. He's not a starting pitcher. Let alone he's not even a long reliever. So there was no way he was going to win this game anyway. Even by some miracle, if he pitched well, he wasn't going to last long to get the victory. So this was like Jabba rules, basically. You know, there was no way this guy would have, by some miracle, would have to go five innings in order for him to win the game. And he clearly didn't have it, Gil Martin. You know, the home run to Franco, I mean, that just, to make it 3-0, that just set the tone. And then afterwards, they never came back, really. The game was 6-0, and then 10-0, and then, you know, the Mets never stood a chance.
Despite the injuries that the Mets have had, you know, the Mets are fortunate enough to be in a spot where they can make the playoffs, you know, as a wild card. And who knows, you know, once you get into playoffs, anything can happen. Like last year when the Mets made it to a World Series. So they're hoping they can do the same this year. But, you know, like you said, I mean, the pitching, you know, they don't have much depth in the, you know, as far as pitching is concerned. So that's going to be a problem once they enter the postseason, because you have these other teams like Washington and the Cubs and Dodgers who have pitching. So that's going to be a weakness of the Mets. You know, they have much pitching, and their inconsistencies offensively might hurt them as well. But, you know, they're fortunate enough, despite all the injuries, to still make the playoffs. So Mets fans should be happy about this.
Yeah, but the problem is that we have other than our pitching rotation that's basically destroyed, you know, basically our rotation, you know, is, you know, basically the new kid are basically in the remake of ER, the ER show from the 90s, man, because everybody's hurt other than Cologne, you know. So, I mean, other than that, if they were healthy, I would say Mets really have a chance, you know, to go deep into the playoffs. But, yeah, because of that reason, even if they do go to the playoffs, which obviously because of the schedule works out in their favor. One thing people don't realize is that all these teams, the Phillies, the Braves, the Marlins, you know, they hate the Mets. They want to play spoiler for the Mets, you know, just like the Marlins and the Nationals did in 07. And speaking of the Nationals, they clinched a playoff spot, you know. So, you know, congratulations to them. I think they won the division too, if I'm not mistaken, you know, with the Mets loss. So, you know, congratulations to them. You know, they're in the playoffs, you know. And the Mets, man, you know, I've always said for years, you know, if my team is not gonna win the World Series or the championship of any sport, they have no business going to the playoffs, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, what can you do? I mean, you got to be in it to win it. So, hopefully the Mets can, by some miracle, get to the playoffs and go on another run like they did last year. But the odds are even against them, even more so, because the target's on their back. They're the defending National League champions. You know, everybody know if their team is healthy, offensively and, you know, pitching-wise, they're a formidable team. But it looks like it's the Cubs' year. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, like Tug McGraw said, the late Tug McGraw said, you got to believe. And he saw firsthand with the 73 team, the 73 Mets, is one play teams to make it to the postseason, much less, you know, be one win away from winning the World Series. And fortunately, they were going against that Dynasty A's team, so they fell in seven that year. Even though they were 80, I think they were like an 83 win season. So, you know, I think that was the lowest win for a wild card team ever. So, not a wild card team, I should say a division team, because the wild card wasn't in effect until 95, I think it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's see what happened with the Mets. And shifting gears with the Yankees, another team, you know, who's trying to make it to the playoffs, even though the odds are against them. And, you know, they've been shut out three days in a row, you know. It's not looking good for the Yankees, man. But other than Gabby Sanchez, who hit, what, 19 home runs in 40-something games, which is a record. What's your thoughts on the Yankees? How they're doing?
Well, the last 10 games, yeah, the Yankees have not played well. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. They lost three in a row. Right now, you know, technically, they're not out of it. I mean, they're four games back of the wild card, and they're about, let me see, actually, yeah, it's four games back of the second wild card spot right now. So, I mean, there's still a chance, but, you know, they're, when you're four games back in the loss column with eight games to go, you know, you pretty much have to win every game that you play. And it doesn't look good for the Yankees right now. You know, it's I'm proud that these guys playing baseball after all those trades and getting the prospects, you know, they showed some resiliency, you know, and it gives us some it gives Yankee fans something to look forward to in the upcoming years with these young guys. But, yeah, I mean, right now we could we just have to play it out, see what happens. Hopefully we make the playoffs. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but, you know, it's yeah, it's not looking good right now, you know, for the wild card. So I might just be watching football, you know, in after this upcoming week.
Yeah, funny how you mentioned that with the football. Yeah, Giants, man. Your Giants, man. They're doing their thing, man. They're what, 2-0, and they're gonna try to improve to 3-0. So, what's your thoughts on the Giants right now?
Well, defensively, they're looking good. You know, these first two games, they played some pretty good defense. Their last game against the Saints, they had they blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown. They've been playing some great defense and some pretty close games. So I'm happy with that. And their offense looks okay. I mean, it doesn't look great yet because we haven't seen Beckham break out yet. Still needs to see more from the running game. But, hey, we're 2-0, so I'll take the wins no matter how ugly they look. And tomorrow they play the Redskins, who are winless. So hopefully that's another W for the Giants, and you know, hopefully they can keep up this winning streak, you know?
I hear you, man. I think the winning streak's going to continue. I mean, like I was saying about the, you know, the Braves and the Marlins and the Phillies with the Mets and the baseball, you know, the Redskins are, you know, a long time, you know, divisional rivals of the Giants, so you know they're going to get up for that game. But I think the Giants, you know, going to be ready for them, and their winning streak is going to extend to three games.
Yeah, so it should be your ass whooping. Hopefully.
I think that's what's going to happen for sure. And shifting gears with the Jets, man. You know, the Jets, they're going to try to extend their winning streak to two, you know, because they lost a tough one I'm trying to think off the top of my head. The Bengals, week one, they rebound and bounce back and win the other game, you know, against the Bills. And you know they're gonna try to win again, man. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, the Jets, they look good against the Bills. I mean, they have offense. You know, they have some weapons: Marshall, Becker, Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
Even this, what's his name? The guy with the African name, Quinoyobio? What's his name again? The wide receiver who's
has an African name. It's starting with a Q.
His name escapes me for a moment. I'm gonna have to check that out, man.
Queen. How do you pronounce his name again? Starts with a Q. He's a wide receiver, but he's been playing real well. I mean, he's a rising star for the Jets right now. You know, and he had a lot of key receptions in that Bills game. But the Jets offensively did look good. Defense is looking pretty good as well. It's just a matter of them being consistent, you know. Right now I hear Marshall and Decker, they have some injuries, which I don't think is going to be serious. So, but, you know, when you play in the division with the Patriots, you know, it's going to be tough winning that division. You know, the Patriots are 2-0, and Tom Brady hasn't played a game yet. Like,
exactly.
Every year, you know, with these guys.
Yep. Exactly. And so they can, you know, that's why, you know, before the preseason starts, the Patriots are already in the leading the division, the way how it is, it seems. And,
the Jet players, Quincy Enunwa.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
But it was keeping score at home. And what was I going to say? Yeah, another thing that should be worrisome, you know, with the defense is, Revis Island, man. You know, he hasn't been the same lately. You know, obviously, you know, I would assume due to, you know, to his age, you know, he's getting up there. But we'll see if he'll be able to bounce back.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't look like they've needed him since, you know, the Jets are getting the Jets are doing well defensively. You know, they're playing team defense, so they're covering up for Revis right now.
Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we're going to shift gears to the NBA. And I don't know if you heard, but Kevin Garnett, he's finally calling it quits. The big ticket.
Yep.
You know, in like 5 years, he's going to be taking his big ticket all the way to Springfield into the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously, you know, he's a legendary power forward. Basically he was that, you know, dominant star player with the Timberwolves, a beloved figure, you know, when he was a member of the Timberwolves. And then ever since when he got traded to the Celtics, you know, he had that taste of a title. It seemed like he turned heel, like a villain. You know, the reasons why people loved him, you know, even though he was in a small town, you know, city of Minnesota, you know, being the star player, you know, of that team, you know, on the team that, you know, wasn't going to win a championship anytime soon. Once he got, you know, traded to the Celtics, you know, he put on that Celtic green. It's like he turned into a totally different character, you know, villainous character, you know, being a dirty player, you know, picking fights with people, you know, talking trash, you know. But, you know, the guy, you know, he did bring the title back to Celtics, you know, to Boston, you know, along with you know, the other two members of the big three, you know, obviously Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, and of course a young Rajon Rondo. So, you know, he's basically, you know, his great career was validated. You know, getting that title.
Yeah, definitely, because. He, like you said, he wasn't going to win a title in Minnesota anytime soon. He pretty much completed his career by winning that championship when he was traded to Boston. And then we did see, the bad side of Kevin Garnett when he joined Boston. You know, even with Minnesota, he was passionate about the game. But you started to see, like, some of the dirty side of him when he went to Boston. You know, more.
Exactly.
So, I guess he'll be known for that, but he'll also be known for being a great player, you know, at the end of the day.
Exactly. And, yeah, as a funny thing is, the last time the city of Minnesota, you know, won a title was when the Lakers were still there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why the Lakers are called Lakers. Yeah, like in the 50s or so. And the
George
Mikan
days.
Yeah, the George Mikan days. Yep, exactly. And the crazy thing about it, that's why the Lakers are called Lakers, because, you know, Minnesota has a lot of lakes, you know, unlike LA, which has none. So that's a little fact for some of you sports trivia people. But in any case, congratulations to Kevin Garnett on his retirement. And in 5 years, we'll see him in the NBA Hall of Fame doing his speech.
Yeah, congrats.
Yep. And shifting gears to WWE, or before I get to WWE, TNA, they made a big announcement. Cody Rhodes, or as he's now called in TNA, just Cody, because WWE is, you know, they don't want him to use the Rhodes name. You know,
what?
Even though it's, you know, yeah. They're preventing him from using the Rhodes name. You know, so right now he's called Cody with TNA. So yeah, he's prevented from using it with TNA. Maybe even with Ring of Honor also. But it, like, I guess in independent stuff, I think he could still use it. But in TNA, he can't use his last name. Well, his real last name is Runnels, but, you know, obviously they've been going by Rhodes, you know, ever since, you know, Dusty Rhodes, you know, heyday.
Yeah.
You know, in the 70s and 80s. So, well, we'll see what happens. Plus, in addition, his wife, Brandy, remember she was a announcer, an in-ring announcer. Now she's going to be a wrestler again with TNA. So that's another thing to keep an eye out for. And so, you know, TNA, slowly but surely, you know, they're getting some, you know, some disgruntled WWE guys, you know, like Damian Sandow, which he's now known as Aaron Rex, Cody, obviously Cody Rhodes, and possibly Alberto Del Rio too.
Yeah,
so
man, WWE mismanaged some of these guys. Sandow, Rhodes.
Yeah.
Rhodes was the best when he had the face, when he had that mask on, you know, as a heel. I thought that was his best gimmick.
Yeah, I thought so too. Because, you know, when he was in The Legacy or Priceless, I could never see him as a serious heel. I thought he could only, you know, be popular as a good guy, but that dashing Cody Rhodes, he definitely showed a different side to his character. And I heard him in an interview too, like when he first showed up in WWE, he was green. So, you know, he was it took him like 2 or 3 years to develop, you know, to the guy he is now.
Yeah.
And you could clearly see that once he was dashing, you know, you could see the potential in him. And unfortunately, you know, he never got that title run that, you know, WWE's been hyping up throughout his career, that he's a future world champion. They said the same thing about Damian Sandow, Drew McIntyre, which now goes by Drew Galloway, who's also in TNA.
I thought McIntyre had some potential too.
Yeah, Vince McMahon even pointing him out as a chosen one, you know, and you know, on the show, and obviously that never amounted to anything, because obviously he was an Intercontinental champion, and after that, it soured. So, we'll see what happened with Cody Rhodes. And Matt Hardy, there's rumors that him and Jeff might return to WWE.
Oh, really?
Yep, and Sting, apparently, in the interview with JBL, he wants to fight Undertaker, but doesn't look like WWE is going to give him clearance to return. So it looks like, just like Daniel Bryan, they're going to force him into retirement. So
I'd love to see that match.
Yeah, they should have did that instead of the Triple H match, you know. But
yeah, I don't know why
that
they
didn't happen. Yeah, exactly. But it is what it is. It's too late now.
Mm-hmm.
But not that I was complaining about. I mean, the Triple H match he had was, you know, was good. But Triple H, him beating him by cheating and then shaking his hand afterwards, it was like, it was not how I would have written the script. But then again, you know, I have no experience in the business, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that left a sour taste in my mouth, to be honest with you. But hopefully, the pay-per-view event, you know, upcoming pay-per-view event won't leave a sour taste in the fans' mouth later tonight. And of course, I'm talking about Clash of Champions, a pay-per-view event that the late Dusty Rhodes and Sting and Ric Flair are very familiar with in their WCW days. And of course, now Raw has the pay-per-view as an exclusive for their brand. And what's your thoughts on the upcoming pay-per-view matches? You got the Cesaro versus Sheamus match, and this is the rubber matchup. Sheamus was up 3-0, and then Cesaro, in traditional sports fashion, or in 2004 Red Sox fashion, got the series even up at 3. And I'm going with the momentum. Cesaro's going to win this. What do you think?
Well, I think WWE would like to think that that Cesaro is going to come back to win this, but I think Sheamus will win this one. I think they're trying to push Sheamus to be a top heel right now. So I see Sheamus finally winning this series, getting it wrapped up tomorrow night. Or later tonight.
I could see your point. You know, WWE's teasing us, you know, with the hero win, and then he finds a way to cheat to win. I could see that happening. But you know what? Sen tells me you're going to be right, but I'm going to stick with my guns and say, you know what? They're going to give Cesaro this victory. Because I think the winner gets a future championship title match opportunity or something like that.
Yeah.
For the Universal Championship. I think that's what's on the line.
Is it the Universal
Even
or is
Cesaro
it the WWE?
What do you think?
Is it the Universal or the WWE Championship?
No, Universal, because it's Raw. Universal.
Oh, yeah,
Raw.
Right.
Yeah. The WWE title's on SmackDown exclusively now.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Okay, what else matches are there? There's the New Day versus the Usos, I think. Isn't that?
No,
or is
it's
it the, no, they're
Gallows.
Against the Gallows and Anderson again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Anderson and Gallows are going to finally win it.
I think they're going to win it. I think they're going to win it also.
Not to mention a little cap off them retiring the Dudley Boys, which there's rumors that Devon might return as an agent, a backstage agent with the company, and Bubba Ray might return as Bully Ray, either for TNA or WWE or who knows. So we'll see what happened with that. Trying to think what else happened. Usos are gonna fight against the American Alphas, the team that they eliminated in the tag team tournament that happened a few weeks ago. I think the Usos are gonna win. I was thinking the American Alpha is gonna win, but Gable still has that injury, so they're gonna most likely, you know, target that injury, and that's what's gonna cost them the victory. So
wait,
Usos
are referring to on Clash of Champions?
Yeah, isn't those? Wait, no. Wait a minute. Oh my goodness, what am I talking about? They're right. That's on SmackDown. My fault. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That they are on SmackDown now. Right. Right. I'm sorry. Forget. Let's just erase that last word that I just said. Yeah. Right. The
they already won, didn't they?
Yeah. No, they lost to Rhino and Rhino and Heath Slater at SmackDown Clash of the Champions one. But they're gonna be fighting. Those two teams are gonna fight at the
SummerSlam. Not SummerSlam.
No, not SummerSlam. Not Survivor Series. Might be Hell in the Cell. But for the SmackDown exclusive one, it might be Hell in the Cell, I think.
Okay.
But in any case, yeah, you're correct. The Rhino versus the Rhino and Heath, no, not the Rhino. I mean the Usos versus American Alpha. That's on SmackDown. That's not going to be on the Raw pay-per-view event later tonight. So yeah, thank you for correcting me on that. I forgot about that.
No problem.
What other matches are going to be there? I think Charlotte is going to go against Bayley for the title.
Sasha and Bayley.
I think
is it a three-way? Triple threat?
Wow, I can't even remember.
It's Charlotte versus Sasha versus Bayley.
I think Charlotte's gonna hold on to it.
I think so too. I think she'll probably lose that Survivor Series in November, but not now.
Yeah, probably to Bayley. You know, because Bayley's the only one in the four horsewomen of wrestling that hasn't won the major women's title, because Charlotte won it multiple times. Sasha won it like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Then whatchamacallit, Becky Lynch just won it at the Backlash. What was I gonna say? Bayley has a chance to join them.
Yeah.
By beating Charlotte and Sasha Banks. I don't think that's going to happen yet. There's Rusev versus Roman Reigns. Wow, this is a tough one. Let me see.
Man, I could see Roman Reigns winning it.
I could see it going either way. I guess Roman Reigns will win it. I guess that's what's going to happen to end that feud. Let me see what else. What other matches going on other than the title match?
Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
Right. Yeah. Before that, is there any other important matches other than that?
Sami Zayn versus Jericho.
Oh yeah, Chris Jericho. I think Sami Zayn's gonna win that one.
Who do you think is gonna win that?
Yeah. And then I guess lastly the title match, Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Kevin Owens is definitely going to win this match. I mean, this is his first pay-per-view title defense. He did win the title thanks to Triple H at the last month pay-per-view event when Triple H came out of nowhere and attacked Roman Reigns, and then Seth Rollins. Shockingly attacked Seth Rollins with the patented pedigree and basically, allowed Kevin Owens to get the victory. Kevin Owens' first ever championship victory in WWE. And, look at what's going on in WWE. Who would have imagined in a million years that AJ Styles would be the WWE champion for SmackDown and Kevin Owens would be the Universal Champion for Raw. So, the independent league, independent wrestling champion streak is continuing ever since the days of Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. All these guys are, WWE's finally showing love to these guys who pay their dues for like 10 plus years.
True.
You have Cesaro, trying to think what are the guys in the company that been paying their dues. Well, basically, they're the top guys, but props to WWE, finally giving these guys a chance. You got any last things you'd like to say?
Check out my show IMAX Saturdays 11. Come back here. Check out Sports of the Legend every Sundays at midnight.
Take care. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. But any case, thanks, Mac, for coming on the show. Check out his show, iMac, every Saturdays at 11. And, of course, check out my show, Sports Urban Legend, every Sundays at 9.